This is Sean O'Brien for Art Talk. I'm at the Damien Minton Gallery in Redfern to see the exhibition Sine Waves by the artist Pia Larsen, and I'm going to be talking to Pia. Good afternoon, Pia.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Now, Pia, in this small exhibition space, we have, well, basically sculptural works, but we've got some works on the walls which are wearable, and then we have a series of turntables with sculptural forms that are turning on the turntables, and then on another wall we've got, I guess, what would be wall sculptures. Can you tell us how all of these elements come together? I guess, for example, what is the shape that or the shapes that you're drawing from to create the works?
Well, the turntables, of which there are six, they each of them is an impression taken from a part of the body. And we might just, if I just go along. So this one is a hair whorl. So it's the top of my head.
Okay.
Okay. Part of these plates too is that this plate is a recycle plate going back over my 20 years of making prints and working and etching, so that there's a residue of my old work in this plate, and this is its final form.
Can you just technically go into that a little bit more? When you say recycle plate, what exactly is that?
It's, in this case, it's zinc. And you know that when you work in print, there's a cost element, but also that as I've, over the years, as I've produced work and struggled with trying to make good images, I've kept a lot of those plates. And also then there was a period of removing a lot of things that weren't working, and then coming to this idea of making zinc LPs, that these seem to be a perfect vehicle, so that there was the residue, so you get that old stuff. And then I've etched this impression, an image of the top of my head, onto this plate, so that means that it's actually been bitten into this surface.
How does the image go from the top of your head onto this zinc plate?
It's photographed digitally by my brother, who has been my assistant for most of this work, and then it's put through into silkscreen up to scale for this metal plate, and then screen printed onto the zinc, baked onto the surface, and then I've cut this edge so you actually have all these fronds cut into the perimeter of this shape, and then put it into the acid until I'm happy with the actual depth of bite.
Okay.
So I could print. I have done some prints from this, but at the moment they're really working as objects.
Yeah, okay. So this is the top of your head. Let's have a look at the next one. They're all parts of your body, is that right?
No.
Or just bodies?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, some of the contributors can remain anonymous. This is a buttocks impression.
Okay.
And what I like from it playing over these 3 weeks is that this is actually a proper stylus, and these tracks have been created over the time of the show.
Yeah.
So each of these that's happening here, you can see the imposition of that, the stylus, the circle from the stylus is here. And, you know, it's jumping this crack of the buttocks.
Although, you know, you say that it is buttocks, but it could be taken as many different types of... I mean, it could be an apple, for instance, half an apple, or... Basically, it's an organic shape.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's fine, that people recognise something, so that it could be, you know, there's a tree, or, it's from any kind of animal or nature or different parts of bodies, but that we actually have that common information that then, you know, those patterns from all those things, actually we share those things.
Yeah, sure.
This is a penis and scrotum.
Okay.
Which, you know, it's not necessary that you recognise, as we've just discussed, from the male body.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's just penis and scrotum.
Okay.
Yes. And so that's an impression that's been blown up.
Yeah, I'm just still trying to...
It's one of those things where it's just from the male genitalia.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that better? Yeah. And so I've just...
But it's just that it's not phallic in any way.
Well, this is interesting, isn't it? Because there's an expectation when you think about penises that it's erect.
Mm.
But this is not. This is a flaccid penis, and because it's an impression from a male body, then that's not the familiar perspective.
Yes.
And that's the idea.
Yeah.
Is that I've taken all these impressions, and they're not that familiar perspective that we expect. And certainly with the penis, the phallus, that's not what people see or expect to see in public.
Sure. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
And then also that edge, you know, I've delineated the edge in terms of the impression that was made, but you know, I have decided what the edge is going to look like.
Okay. Mm, yeah.
To a degree with all of these things.
Yeah, I mean, I guess this is the one that most confounds expectations so far, when you say what it is. Mm. So, and that completely throws me in terms of looking at the next ones,
mm-hmm,
to try and work out what they are. And this one is...
Well, what do you think? Is that...
So basically they're like cross-sections. So they could be...
Yes.
We're not necessarily having to look at what the actual form is as you look at it in a three-dimensional way on a person's body. It's a cross-section of something. Is this a breast?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and this piece is actually called Mammophone.
Right.
And this, in fact, was completed a couple of years ago and really spawned the rest of these, that after making this, I thought, you know, I'd like to actually continue this series with other parts of the body,
mm-hmm,
because I think altogether there's an impact that, you know, one works, because this also was created with another group of sculptures and a wall piece, and now it's got its companions, these other five turntables.
Yeah.
But it is a breast impression, and I guess that's the way I've worked. As you said, it's going into the flat plane, is it becomes a cross section. But in order to work from the real body, which is what I'm interested in too, not just the imagined or the conceived body,
mm,
then this is the way that I've managed to get an impression from the body.
Yes.
And that's what happens to it. And also to bring it into the metal through etching.
These works could, you know, they could sit on a wall and look great. Why put them on a turntable and have them turn?
Well, I think this started as an etching plate, and I actually produced a number of prints from it, and that really came out of breastfeeding and that changing the way I saw my body and an understanding of how, in fact, bodies operate within discourses. So it just exhibiting it and thinking about it, and also thinking about how we perceive bodies, you know, when that connection was made for me, I suppose putting it into another social context. So an LP that has its tracks, that link was there for me, and I thought, hey, you know, it is actually already in an LP sort of form.
Mm.
Why not try it and putting it onto a turntable? All these turntables have been modified, customised for each plate.
Yeah, I was thinking that because being a vinyl record collector myself and having quite a few turntables, I thought, I've never seen these actual models before. So that's why they've been customised.
Yes, yes. And that's my brother, Tor Larsen, who has taken on this job of doing that. And this was the first one he made. So he's essentially just, you know, separated out the stylus arm from the turning area for each plate and then created a new top. But the interesting thing is that he's done such a good job that people are not recognising that it in fact isn't an LP, that he couldn't pay an LP any longer.
Yeah.
So, yes, and that, you know, it's creating a new groove in the body. So it's a play on ideas about, you know, how information is stored and, you know, what goes into track lists and all that kind of thing. So you are expected to kind of come up with some ideas of your own.
Sure, it also has the echoes of the cross sections of tree trunks, where the timelines are within the, you know, the various sections through the cross section of the tree trunk.
Yes, and I think as we talked about with the Was it the buttocks one where you said it could be an apple because of that little side bit especially? Yes, and I think that that is about skin and, you know, bark and all those things.
Yeah, sure.
Let's have a look at the final two in the LP series. This one I'm having a look at, it looks brain-like, but that's just the texture on it. Is it something to do with the brain?
Yes. So this is a cross-section of the brain, and I've actually gathered, doing my research, one of the things I gathered was a whole lot of images, and they were from a book of cadavers. So that there's always quite confronting imagery of, you know, bodies dissected and pulled apart, and then these very different perspectives on parts of the body. And this was from a series of the brain. And, you know, I liked it as a graphic image, and also that, once again, you know, trying to come at the brain from a slightly different perspective. But I think people do, as you've just done, people do recognise enough in some of these. And perhaps it's also about trusting your instincts, in a sense.
I guess the surface texture is brain-like as well. Have you done anything to the surface of it?
It's the image has been etched into the zinc plate, and then I have polished it up with Brasso.
Okay.
And that provides more of a contrast.
Yeah.
So there is. It has been etched into the metal, and then I've upped that contrast.
Sure.
So that's all I've done.
We also seem to be journeying further and deeper into the body as we go around.
Yes,
is that happening?
Yes, and that's the sequence, is that the turntables came first, and then these wearable pieces, and then these print objects.
Let's just have a look at the final one in the turning objects.
So this is the top of another person's head. It's my partner, and I left this as black.
Yeah.
So this is, you can see, this is the way they all were made. I felt this one worked better as a black impression. That contrast was necessary technically to make it work for me. And this has a real stylus.
Oh, okay.
Actually making that scratch.
Making the scratch, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I like the sounds that are coming out of them, which are basically acoustic sounds, quite gentle. I'd also be interested in what it might sound like if you actually plug these in to an amplifier. It would be an extreme sound, wouldn't it? Have you ever thought about doing that?
Yes, I have actually, and that is something I'd like to pursue. And but I'm cautious, because sound is not something I've worked with. It's not to put me off, but you know, people have said, oh, you know, is there going to be a soundtrack? But I think it'd be good to play around with this sound. And my brother and I have actually made a short film just in the last week, and we did some recordings, so I'm interested to see with that material what we might do with that.
Let's have a look at the wearable works that are pinned to the wall here. Tell us about these.
Well, the piece that I'm wearing, and of which there are 100, and they have been cut with a wire cutter, which means that they're identical.
Yeah.
And they are the kind of masterpiece of this series, if you like. They're the first piece that came, and they're a riff on the X and Y chromosome.
Okay.
So I don't know if you can see, there's an X there,
yeah,
and there's a Y, and then they've kind of sprouted little legs and tendrils and things. Then the other seven designs were just playing around with similar internal parts of the body. So this is an ovary.
Yeah.
But the same thing with the little kind of sprouting things, which don't relate literally to anything. So it's me, you know, going off on an imagined tangent and just playing around graphically and just drawing and coming up with shapes and forms that I was happy with. So I see these as, you know, small sculptures looking at the language about bodies, so from science and anatomy and that kind of thing, and abstracting those and playing around with them.
Do you think the body could provide you with enough imagery to last for an entire career?
Well,
Or are there other elements of the landscape or nature or etc. that you might want to draw on as well? Or is it all there in the body?
You know, looking back to where I kind of started, which was with representations of the human figure and a use of negative space, that's always been there. it seems to me that the figure remains, but it's shifted as in terms of how the figure and bodies operate in society and how we perceive them and all the stuff that we put onto them, and that in fact there's change all the time, but certain things remain very fixed through gender in particular, and that is an interest of mine and something that I've kind of looked at as well. So that idea that things aren't fixed and that in fact, you know, X and Y chromosomes, those are labels that we then come to recognise and understand what they mean, but that it's not a fixed thing. It's not as if there's not flux. And so playing with those symbols and letters and whatnot is about suggesting that, you know, change is always happening. Yeah, as a kind of reminder to ourselves that we think in certain ways, but there's always possibilities for thinking differently.
Now, in creating the works as wearable objects, you're walking that line between sculpture, visual art, and design, I guess, jewellery making. Is that an area that you work through comfortably?
Yeah, I can see from exhibiting it that people come in and have to grapple with the fact that I've created these three groups, and yet they all share a common theme and concepts and things. Well, in a way, you could say that it's about the same thing. That I don't want to see, or I don't believe that you can't make kind of wearable things that relate. So it's a bit like forcing the viewer to. Or presenting it in such a way that then they can see it can work, rather. And, you know, people have said to me, you know, as a jeweller, and I've said, no, not a jeweller, because I'm not, you know, but I have made some wearable pieces that, of course, do become jewellery, and people, the idea is, of course, that they would like to then wear them as jewellery, they then put them on their bodies and take that away with them. And it's more that concept that... You can actually take an object of mine where I've given a different representation of, you know, part of the body, and you then walk around with that information on.
Yeah.
So, well, I like that idea.
I guess the body being drawn from elements of the body, the body is the perfect exhibiting space for the work.
Yes, you become the bearer of a different meaning system as well.
Sure. Yeah.
Which we all do anyway. I mean, people wear... you know, their names or whatever. So it's not as if this is a new concept because it's not gold. Some of them are sterling silver, but it's been made from stainless steel, and that has allowed me to have very fine detail because there's a strength in the steel at quite a thin gauge, and also then I can buff the surface. And that's why I like that material.
I guess when you said you're not a jeweler, these wearable works are selling through a gallery. Would you feel that you could sell the works through a jewellery store, for instance?
Yes, I am interested in trying to sell, because there's such a quantity here. But I suppose I would be selective about the kinds of places where it makes sense. So I have to approach these places... yet. Yes, I don't feel it has to be through a gallery because, as you say, I mean, they are jewellery.
Let's have a look at the final part of the puzzle, which is these wall sculptures, which at first look like kind of bigger versions of the wearable works. Just tell us a bit more about these works.
Well, these works, yes, do continue on with the idea of internal organs of the body. The story with this shape, this green kind of creature, is that I watched a documentary some years ago, and actually don't have her name. She's a urologist, Australian woman who mapped the clitoris.
Right.
And the clitoris is actually a much bigger organ than most people realise.
Okay.
And that what you see, what's visible on the body, is really the tip of the iceberg.
Mm.
And behind it is this rather large structure.
Right.
And so looking in the book, or this at the Medical Library at Sydney Uni, at the dissected bodies, there was parts that they had actually dissected and pulled apart, and I recognised that after having seen this documentary. So this form is a representation. It is, I've abstracted it and, you know, add things and whatever, but that's where that form has come from.
Okay.
And then so these thinking along, you know, bodies and genitalia, I did think, well, what would an orgasm look like?
Okay.
So this kind of explosion of colour and forms, you know, that has inspired that or helped me think about coming up with shapes.
Yeah.
And there's also some fingers and some of the forms that you know, you might recognise.
Yeah.
But these very vivid colours,
yep,
are about that, and also about internal organs. That itself is something that we always, you know, when you see documentaries, and it's always a bit of a shock when you suddenly see a, you know, a heart beating or the liver or the kidney, because it's covered.
Mm.
And,
sure, yeah.
And that these things are alive.
Yeah.
And that's because actually we talked about the movement, and that's that thing about animating things literally, but also animating things metaphorically, so that it's about bodies that are living. They're not just dry ideas.
Yeah. On the surface of some of these wall works, I can see etched lines. Are they relating to the plates in any way?
Well, I suppose because my training was in print media, that certainly has informed how I work. A student of mine, Liam, made a nice connection between the stylus and those etched lines. That this, and I think that's a nice idea.
Well, that's what I was saying.
Yeah. So these have been made. They're dry point, so the lines have been scratched into a copper sheet.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I've rolled these colours over the top in very transparent layers, and then reprinted the same print, same piece of paper several times, so that you build up. So that's the same pattern, just overprinted.
Right. So this is like paper on mounted on board.
Yeah. So this is it's a paper that I'm very fond of. It's called Grey BFK,
right.
And so I cut this shape out in the paper, and then after I'd inked up the plate, I then laid that down the plate and rolled it through the press, and then, you know, built it up until I was happy with it, and then this substance, which is very rigid, is called Gator Board,
okay.
And it has archival qualities,
yeah.
And then I have hand cut that after tracing the shape, and then glued them together. Yes, and that's to, you know, create enough dimension for these objects for the print to become an object,
yes,
on the
sure.
wall.
Yeah. It's interesting that you say that you began as a printmaker, because now I can see that in this work you're pushing printmaking as far as it can go in a way, aren't you?
Yeah, well, you know, when you have something that you've been involved in for a long time, and it's about extending those boundaries for yourself and making it work for me, and some of those struggles that I mentioned earlier with plates, you know, this is very exciting for me, these print objects, because that's not something, this is very recent stuff, and it is about, extending what you can do with print and how print can sit and be a part of works in lots of different ways.
Yeah.
So, yeah, making it work for me, because objects and dimensionality and animation, they're things that I'm working with.
Sure. All right. Pia, thanks very much for talking to us today.
Been a pleasure.